This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're about to launch into a Mad Wednesday Joy podcast.
You're on Mad Wednesdays on Joy 94.9 with Robbie and Dean, and we've got a very special guest with us today in the studio. Joining us is Shelley Argent, who has been jumping around Australia promoting your new book, haven't you?
Yes, I have. I've been very busy. And what is really nice is everybody seems to be enjoying it, and I'm told that it's a page turner, so I'm pleased about that. I'd hate to think I had a boring life.
Well, in relation to our communities, you're certainly as an author is not what you're really known for. We've often spoken on Joy on the phone because you're a national representative for PFLAG, but also just to talk about your views, especially during the marriage equality campaign.
Oh, yes.
So, and out of all of this spurned a book?
No.
No.
No, actually, it's my second book.
Yes.
And to be quite honest, I never thought I would write a business letter, let alone two books.
But you've written a lot of press releases
Have I ever? I'm very good at press releases.
You know how to write.
Yes. But the reason I've written this book is because, you know, people, I mean, I have no special talents, and I really don't, but people all the time have been saying to me, oh, I couldn't do what you do. And I think, really, yes, you could. And so it just got to me after a while, and I thought, I'm going to write a book and I'm going to tell my life and let people see that you don't have to be special. It doesn't matter where you come from. It's where you're going that matters. And the one thing that I have learned from writing this book, which I know sounds really funny because I know I'm not an introvert, is I don't oversell myself. And if anything, I'm inclined to undersell, because Leanne, the girl that helped me write the book, she's the one that's done all the publicity, and she's saying, oh, I'm putting this out, I'm putting that out. I'm going, oh, no, a bit early. And where I wouldn't have done anything until the day I had the book actually in my hand. But she did all this PR, and
It's been great. It's a fact. The title of the book is Just a Mum, which, I mean, you've always said for years, you know, I'm just a mother.
Just a mum.
You know, I'm talking about this because I care about my boys. I care about my family.
It.
And that's what it all comes
and
down to.
And that's exactly right. But I think the two things that I have probably is a real determination and a refusal to be intimidated.
And again, you know what I love is you say that with such a big smile.
Well, it's true, because if I can be intimidated, I mean, that's not going to help my son, you know, have somebody put me down.
Yeah.
And the determination, I mean, really, if I fail at something, that's okay. I mean, there's nothing wrong with failure. But the thing is, with this, if I don't succeed at something, I get up and I have another go, and I ask more questions and I do more research until I get it right and I make it happen. And it's like when I first started at PFLAG, I mean, my God, I knew nothing. Zero. But but I just read and talked to people, and I asked questions and researched, and eventually it all just comes along.
I mean, we all know nothing when you think about it. And I feel a lot of parents as well, I know when I came out to my parents, there was this sudden thing of, well, what does this mean? And asking a million questions, because we all suddenly assume we are left alone to reinvent the wheel and figure out what this all means. But there is all this information around for us.
Well, and there is now.
Yeah. Well, so there wasn't, there wasn't really back then.
There was nothing. And I really struggled. And I remember the one person I used to talk to was a tennis friend of mine, and she had a gay brother. It was the only person that I knowingly knew that had anybody that was gay.
Well, now that's a lot bigger, isn't it?
Well, just a little. And, you know, and that was it. And she really couldn't answer questions, but it was at least somebody that I could speak to freely. And the interesting thing was, I mean, I guess James was gay when he was about 11, and I didn't go into, you know, the horrors or anything like that. I thought, okay, I think he's gay. So I made it that we had a gay-friendly house so that if he was, and I didn't even know what a gay-friendly house was really, but I thought, you do not say anything nasty. You only make positive comments and there's no, what you know, poofter jokes in inverted commas. So there was none of that.
I love some of those poofter jokes though.
I don't.
Okay.
I don't. I'm sorry.
No, that's fair enough.
And because I just think they're insulting. And it's like blonde jokes. I mean, really?
Yeah, good point. I never really thought about
insulting.
It that way.
They're insulting. Yeah. They always assume if you're blonde, you're dumb.
Yeah.
No.
No.
And so I did this. I made it. We had the gay-friendly house. And then James one day, he was very funny. Well, it wasn't funny, but it was clever. He waited until his father and brother were out of the country. And it was him and myself at home. And we were both studying for exams. And he came and he said, oh, Mum, I've got something to tell you. And I just went, oh, yeah, like, what do you want? And he goes, I'm gay. And I just sort of went, oh. And I always remember it was a Wednesday afternoon about 4 o'clock and I know where I was sitting in the kitchen. It's just vivid in my mind. And he just wandered off and I was like totally staggered. But the thing was, I wasn't staggered that he came out, but it was like, oh, God, now what? And it was like, what about him?
What happens next?
Well, it was all about him. Yeah. It was like, I mean, it was 95. He was only in Queensland. The only thing he could be was gay. That was the only legal right he had as far as any gay rights went. It was in the days of AIDS, not HIV.
Yeah.
And, oh, I was just terrified. I didn't care that he was gay, but I was terrified. And then he went into the police force and I went, you don't have to be an interior decorator and you don't have to be a hairdresser, but have you got a death wish? Because I was, again, and that was in 98, and still the only right he had was to be gay.
Yeah.
And he came out in the police force, everyone knew he was gay and it wasn't a problem. So, I mean, and so all my fears amounted to nothing, but, oh. But that also is what sort of spurred me on because I thought, how can you also have no rights one day or have rights one day and then none the next just because you came out?
Mm.
And I thought, nah, sorry, that's not for my boy. And so me being me, I just started doing something.
What's the response been like? Because you've been jumping around to different states with the book. You were at Hares and Hyenas last night.
I was at Hare and Hyenas last night and that went really well. But in Brisbane, I had 90 people.
Wow.
I know. I was like, what the? It was really, really amazing and quite overwhelming. And in Sydney, I had about 70. And that again was like, wow. And then last night was great. And then I'm off to...
You're on your way to Tassie.
I'm on
for
my
tonight.
Way to Tassie, yes. And so that'll be interesting. And so I've been having interviews and things all along the way, so that's been really great.
What I think's really wonderful is the fact that we're starting to hear so much more from our allies. Like, this is one of the things I love about this book, you know, Just a Mum, it's your story, it's this guide for people to be able to look at and understand. And as queer people, we forget, like we come out and then we focus on ourselves and we don't think about the world around us. I know with my parents, you know, I just kept on struggling along and I'd love to actually listen to them and hear from them about what it was like to learn and understand these things and what that meant, because we don't really think about it. We just put our pride flag on and jump around.
No. I think myself that times have changed. I mean, I've been doing this now for 22 years or something. And the way back, you know, I'd get false names. I'd be abused because I had to be a lesbian. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been supportive.
Yeah.
One day I was meeting a man for coffee, a father, and he was looking for a female that was in a Jackie Howe T-shirt, shaved head and razor blades in her ears, and he got me instead. And so, you know, I break the stereotypes.
You break the mold.
I do, because I just look so middle class, and that's a good thing when I'm doing this. And that's the way it used to be, but... Now, and also the ages of those coming out were different.
Yeah, very different.
And there was shame and blame and guilt with the parents and everything. But now, I think it's amazing.
It's fantastic.
The kids are coming out about 13 or 14, and the parents are ringing saying, oh, my son came out. And I'll say, oh, how are you feeling? Oh, yeah, I'm fine. But he needs friends. I mean, really? I think that's great.
That's so wonderful.
So now the parents are, again, helping their children, looking for friends, trying to normalise as quickly as possible. And I think that's a great thing. And these days, too, we have parents of trans, which I just love. And the kids are, you know, saying, you know, mummy, I'm a girl, not a boy and whatever. And the parents are listening.
Yeah.
Where once they'd have got a slap and said, get outside and play with the trucks.
Now
it's like, okay, darling, in you come. And it's great.
Yeah.
And I really think that is, you know, showing how we have matured and become a little bit more aware of difference, if you could say that. But also, too, what I do these days with parents is I give them like 5 minutes of, you know, pity party. And then I say, now, look, it's all right for you, you know, being concerned. But your child has to live this. He has to walk in the shoes.
Or she or they.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. It doesn't matter. And so then I try and make them aware of their child's issues and how difficult it is for them, you know, for the child.
Yeah.
And it's not – if they think it's difficult – try it for the child.
Yeah, try walking in their shoes.
Yeah, that's right. And so then I start talking about, you know, how they can be supportive. And sometimes I'll say, well, you know, I don't care. And I don't say it in these words exactly. I do try and be a little sympathetic but it's like, you know, it's like it's all right for you to feel sad, but, you know, hey, think about it. And I say, and smiley face really helps, you know, because if you're looking glum, not going to help.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. And I always say to parents, especially with children who are transitioning or something, because we know that they have so many more issues and the suicide rate is higher and such. And I think that's really, really sad. And so I say to parents, you make sure, and which again benefits the child. I always say, now you just make sure that you have done everything you can. Because if something goes wrong, you don't want to feel guilty. And then, of course, that also makes the parent go the extra mile, which hopefully helps the child.
We often forget that there's no rule book to parenting.
There isn't.
Everyone does it differently. Everyone has their own approach. And all
Absolutely.
You can do is do the best that you can do.
You can. That's right. And I'm not a professional. I'm just a mother. And that's it. And I always say that, you know, I'm not a professional. I'm just a mum. And... But after,
great title for a book, though.
Yeah, it's a great title, isn't it? But, you know, but after talking to so many parents over the years, you do get a bit of an idea on a lot of stuff that goes on.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I mean, look, in Queensland especially, where the narrative can sometimes be different.
But, you know, we're doing pretty well up there.
Yeah.
I mean, people think of us. I mean, just tell me about the election and how backward we were. But when it comes to LGBTIQ rights, we're okay.
Yeah.
And it's funny because what happened when Campbell Newman was in power, which was just like horrendous, and when it was coming up to election time, I wrote a letter to him saying, what are you going to do for the LGBTIQ community? And of course I knew what the answer was. Yeah, and so anyway, then I wrote a letter to Labor, and I sent it to the Labor candidate for my area who I knew. And so I said to her, now what is Labor going to do? And she said, oh, give me a couple of days, because I said, I'm going to put this in the paper. Well, I got this list back of all the things that she said, well, what do you want? And I wrote down all these things that I wanted. And I got a letter back going, yeah, okay.
And to the whole list.
Yes. And what was even better was, and I thought this was amazing because I am just a mother. I'm not very important. But they actually rang me a couple of times in through the one of the years and said, what's left on the list?
Oh, that's wonderful.
Wasn't it? I was shocked.
That's really wonderful. It does really remind us all that you just reach out, just say something. You've got to speak. You've got to do something. Especially, I know, you know, that everyone's a little bit anxious and nervous at the moment because of the religious discrimination bill.
And they should be.
Yeah, no, we all, like, we all, I feel like everyone's holding the collective breath, and I completely understand why, but we also need to keep moving forward. But remember to say something, ask the questions, don't just sit idly by, you know, we have to.
Absolutely. I just can't believe it. I mean, personally, I think the Religious Discrimination Bill is going to be a shocker.
Yeah.
And the Religious Freedom Act is going to be a shocker.
Mm.
And we don't need a commissioner. That's a shocker. No. And I was reading this morning, Frank, something about Frank Brennan, what his thoughts are. Now, Frank Brennan, he was on the committee, you know, with Ruddock and crew. And I got the impression from him that a lot of those things are going to advantage the Christians. They're not going to advantage the LGBTIQ in any way.
Yeah.
And what we need, I agree totally with Michael Kirby, is we need a Bill of Rights.
Mm.
And the reason that the Christians don't want a Bill of Rights is because the decisions like this cannot be made by
they can't be Christian, swayed.
Yeah, they cannot be made by Christian
ideologies. Yeah, yeah.
They're made by the judges, and that's what bothers them, because if they've got left-wing judges, hallelujah, let's hope, they would – I just love left-wing judges. But, you know, but it would make such a difference. It would be more fair, and it wouldn't be that bias.
Mm.
And, you know, and that's the thing. But I really feel that it doesn't matter what comes or goes, we're going to get what we're given. And I think, but we need to speak up and we need to make a noise.
Yeah.
Just don't sit back and take it, because they will take whatever they can from you.
And we need to fight.
Absolutely. Now, I've got a nice little handful of letters that I'm taking down, and I'm seeing I'm not meeting Mr. Porter. He's not that brave, but I'm meeting his advisor. And so I will be giving the letters over, and I will be saying what I think.
Good.
Because they need to know. And again, it's like, you've got to be fair, but you've got to speak up.
Yeah.
And I just can't stand it when people pandy. It's like, no, be clear about what you think and what you say. And in my mind, I don't care if they don't like me, you know. Because even if they did, they'd still give you what they wanted.
Yeah.
So I think, well, I might as well be honest and upfront, straightforward, and let them know what's what.
And that's what we need to all do as well. We
it
all
is
need to
exactly
make
right.
Write the letters, speak to our politicians, and remind them why it's so important to fight this.
Yes.
We don't know what it is, which means we can't trust what it is, but why it's so important for us to actually stand up and remember
we should not
be having our rights taken away.
Well, and that's right, because what are they giving you?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And it's like Morrison, he promised, you know, all this for the Christians, but he didn't promise anything for the gay kids or the LGBTIQ.
Mm.
No.
Mm.
And this...
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We're fine.
Oh, okay. Because the thing is, this is their plan B, the No Campaigners plan B.
Yeah.
Because we were told if the Yes campaign lost, just walk off into the distance. You will get nothing and never be heard of again or be listened to. But of course, the No campaign had plan B.
Yeah.
And this is it.
And here's where we are.
And it's like I keep saying, it's the loser is picking the winner's prize. And they're not going to help us.
Yeah.
And I remember speaking at an inquiry where Senator Fawcett was the chairperson. And he was talking about, it was like, how do we protect the Christians from the gays? And I went, who protects the gays from the Christians?
Yeah.
And, I mean, I was not supposed to be speaking, but I was. And of course, I was considered an extremist, and I thought, that's fine. If I'm an extremist, there's some pretty shady characters out there. But no, I thought, how dare? I mean, nobody in this present government is listening or caring about the LGBTIQ. And so they need to stand up because, again, it's, you know, the logic is even with some schools, like Catholic schools, for example, you know, or any evangelical school, they need the gardener to be of that same ilk, so that if the children start talking to the gardener is sprouting forth whatever they teach inside the classrooms.
Yeah.
I mean, really?
It doesn't sound like a very inclusive world, does it?
No. And another thing I thought was interesting that Frank Brennan said, you know, talking about Israel Folau, I thought this was really good because he said that, of course, he believes in freedom of religion, and who doesn't? But when he signed that contract, he signed that right away because the contract said he did not speak up like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who's to blame? Sorry, Israel, you're a dill. Yeah.
Look, it's certainly interesting times, and we do all have to brace ourselves, but you're right, we do need to speak up, we do need to be heard, and we need to keep moving forward.
We do.
Yeah.
And so please speak up. Phone your MPs and senators. Go and see them before it's too late, because, you know, silence condones.
Yeah.
And if you don't do anything and you get nothing, you can't complain.
We've got rallies kicking off as well. People have started putting rallies together, which is great, saying no to religious freedom. So we're going to be talking about those all during other shows, of course. We'll be letting you all know here at Joy that they're going on. But do stand up. Do let your voice be heard. Do speak, because
Absolutely.
We need to.
But just going to a rally is not enough.
No.
You need to do more, because they don't care about the rallies. The rallies are good and very important, I think, because they get the message out and they encourage people. But you still need to do more.
Contact your politicians. Yes, write your letters. All of these ways of engaging. We're all shouting on social media. So let's direct some of that attention towards the people that can make the decision to not make this happen.
That's right.
Shelley, thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming and joining us today.
My
on
pleasure.
The show.
Thank
Been
you.
Been an absolute pleasure. Shelley's book, Just a Mum, is out right now. You're off to Tasmania now to go and do your book launch there. So grab a copy. I can't wait to read it. And I really appreciate you coming in and speaking to us today on Joy.
Okay. No, thanks. My pleasure.
You're on Mad Wednesdays on Joy 94.9.
You've been listening to a Mad Wednesday Joy podcast, driving you home and keeping you sane for your hump day. Live every Wednesday from 4 on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.